This morning, I want to just start my message this morning by talking about a book. I like books. I've got too many of them, too many to lug all the way out to Cairns. But I like books, and there's one particular book that I'm sure many of you have read, and it's a book that has really changed the world. Now, I know some of you are like, he's talking about the Bible. Well, I'm not talking about the Bible. That one did change the world as well, still is. But there's another book that was published, I think, 2002, and it's the best-selling non-fiction book in history. Well, that's what they claim, I don't know, but that's what I read. Sold more than 40 million copies. This book was read by Michael Phelps when he was in rehab. He was going through a hard time, you know, the Olympic swimmer. He read this book, and it changed the way he thought about the world, changed the way he thought about his life. Another guy, Manny Pacquiao, the boxer, he read this book and he cried all the way through it. And that was how he came to become a Christian, was through reading this book. I don't know if she's the best role model, but Kim Kardashian listed as one of her favourite books. So there you go. Not sure how well she's read it, but that's all right. Not for me to judge. It's a journey. That's it, Dave. but the book, I'm not sure if you've read it, is this one here, The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. Some of you guessed it. Yeah, you knew where I was going. I was like, I'm pretty sure there'll be a copy somewhere, and sure enough, it was in Mum's bookcase. But I think as a church, we went through this book years ago. If you were in the church at that time, you probably read it. But the central message of this book, and actually the opening line of the book, is a little bit well known. And he starts the book and he says, it's not about you. That's the opening line. If you want to know what your purpose is, you've got to realize one thing, it's not about you. And you know, the interesting thing about this bestseller book, what that tells me is that so many people want to know, what's my purpose? People want to know, what's life all about? And I want to know. I'm sure you want to know. We've asked ourselves at some stage, and we've probably found answers to that, and maybe you're still searching that out. But 40 million copies, that's huge. This book has reached people that no Christian probably can ever share the gospel with. Because people are asking the question, what's life about? And the answer that this book gives, and that so many people have been keen to read, is that life is not about you. Isn't it interesting? And essentially the book tells us, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but it basically tells us that life is about God. It's about Him. It's about Jesus. It's about worshiping Him, serving Him. And you can read it if you want to know more. But isn't it a powerful thought to know that so many people are desperate to find that out? And they'll even listen to someone talk about God if it gives them some reason for living. That's where the world's at. And so this morning, as we open our Bibles, I want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're just going to look at a couple of verses to get us going. Colossians 1, and we'll start at verse 15. It's talking about Jesus. And it says this, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, by Jesus, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him, through Jesus, and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things Jesus may have the preeminence. Now, there's a lot in that passage. It's talking about Jesus. And it's talking about so many things about him that we can't probably go into. But one thing I want to draw out from there is it says that all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus. And so when it says all things, it means all things. So whatever you see, when you look in the mirror, it includes you. All things were created for Jesus. You know, all of life is for Jesus. All that we have is for Jesus. All that we could do, all that we could put our energy into is for Him. And if you're living some other way, you're living wrong. You're missing out. It's about Jesus. It's all for Him. And to live that way, just to think that way, changes everything. You know, sometimes we can hear that sort of message and we can think, can feel a bit bad because it's like, well, obviously I'm not living up to that standard. Obviously I'm not doing all enough for Him and that's not how I live. I so often am just living for myself. And we can feel a bit condemned. And that's not the message that I want to bring this morning. It's really about finding what life is about. It's about understanding how we can live the most fulfilled life. And so it's not about criticizing ourselves, not about analyzing ourselves and feeling down, but it's about realizing that all things are for Jesus. To make that our declaration. Sometimes we worry that we haven't heard specifically about what I'm supposed to be doing, don't we? We worry, oh God, I need to hear from you about should I do this or should I do that? And I guess I just want to say this morning, don't worry about that. Because it's actually not what it's about. It's as simple as just determining that Jesus is your priority and taking a journey with God from there. If we can do that, that's all that God expects of us. It's not always about the exact path you have to take. It's simply about setting your compass on Jesus, saying, Jesus, it's for you. And out of that will flow all the specifics. It's determining that whatever your circumstances may be, it's all for Jesus. Whether you have a little or not, whether you have a lot, it's for you, Jesus. You know, sometimes we lose that perspective. Sometimes we lose that focus. Whether you're going through a hard time or whether you're going through a good time, it's for Jesus. You'll find a way to turn it around. In the same book in Colossians 3:17, it says this, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I like that verse because I can handle whatever you do. It's like God saying, don't get so caught up in the details, but just whatever you do, do it for Jesus. Do it for Him. Do it in His name. Give thanks to God. Sometimes we get caught up in that, don't we? Everything we have is a gift from God. And, you know, He's entrusted to us all sorts of things. He's entrusted to us not just our possessions, but our mind, our energy, our time, our relationships. And He expects us to use it for Him. See, if God is God, then actually everything is about Him. Not about me. I remember when I was just a young fella sitting over there and just having this revelation. We were in worship and no one was really saying anything, but we're just singing some songs. And I just remember thinking, yeah, if all this stuff about God is real and if heaven and hell's real and if all of these things are actually true, then it's worth giving everything for. It's worth getting passionate about. And I've maintained that conviction ever since. You know, for each of us, we get so caught up in the affairs of life, don't we? But sometimes we just need to be reminded. Bring it back to the basics. It's all for Jesus. I'm talking about making a deliberate choice to order our lives in such a way that we leverage what we have for God's kingdom. We're going to look this morning at the parable of the talents. And you'll find it in Matthew 25. We're going to read it. It's a little bit long, but so bear with me, but it's pretty easy to follow. Matthew 25 and verse 14. Jesus is speaking and he says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents. Now, a talent is a unit of measurement for money. We'll talk about it in a minute, but when he says talents, he's not talking about being a talented singer or a talented something like that. It's talking about he gave him money. So he gave, to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 gathered 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also, who had received 2 talents, came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.'" So these first 2 guys, they doubled their money, didn't they? The one who had 5 gained another 5. The one who had 2 gained another 2. That's pretty good profit. Verse 24. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Gets a bit gnarly at the end there. But this guy who had only the 1 talent, he was scared, wasn't he? And so he hid that thing in the ground and he did nothing with it. And the Lord comes and says to him, "Well, you could have at least deposited it in a bank and I would have made some interest on it. But you didn't even do that." Like, he's saying, you could have done something at least. Wouldn't have mattered if you didn't double your money, but you could have done something with it. It's kind of what he's saying. So he's not happy. And so, coming back to this thing of a talent in those times was the largest unit of measurement for gold or silver. If you had a talent of gold, you had about 35 kilos of gold. So that's a fairly valuable amount of money, isn't it? 35 kilos is pretty heavy, especially when it comes to gold. And so each person had been given a huge sum of money. None of them got ripped off. The guy who was given the 5 talents, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of stuff that he's received. But, you know, the guy who got the 1, that's still a lot of money. Even the most conservative estimates say it was probably at least 35 grand's worth in today's currency. Some people say it was a lot more than that. Some people say it was $1 million or something like that, even more. But there's obviously, they don't really know exactly how much. But we can agree that it was a very valuable sum that each person had been entrusted. And that tells me something, doesn't it? It says that, you know, whatever God has given to you is valuable. Sometimes we look at our life and we say, "God, what have you given me? Why didn't you make me like them? Why don't I look like them? Why don't I have what they have? And we can compare ourselves and say, God, you ripped me off. What do you expect me to do with my life? God, I'm not smart enough. I'm not charismatic enough. I have the wrong personality. We can look at our lives that way, but you know, this parable tells me that whatever God has entrusted to us is valuable. It's huge. You know, it can be talking about so many different things, but really I think the talent for us represents just our whole life. Because God has entrusted to us this life, hasn't he? And we have a choice how we're going to live it. We have a choice what we're going to do. You know, none of you got ripped off when God gave you your life. He wasn't skimpy with you. What you have is valuable. Believe it. What you have to contribute is vital to God's kingdom. It's true. And see, sometimes we've got to kick out those thoughts that would try and bring ourselves down. You know, maybe it's not even your thoughts. Maybe it's the people around you that you know, you bring them an idea and they're cutting you down, saying what you can't do. I remember when I was studying to get involved in ministry, I talked to someone who I was quite close to. I won't say who, but someone I was quite close to, and I was saying how, yeah, I think I was at uni at the time, and I was saying, well, I think I'm going to pursue ministry, and God was doing a lot in my heart at that time. And I remember getting really cut, because this person said to me, oh, well, you're pretty young, like, what do you really have to contribute? And they meant well, but that was their words to me. And I remember thinking, yeah, I guess I could think that way, but no, I'm not going to think that way, because I just believe God can use me. I just believe no matter how inexperienced I might be at life, God can still use the little bit of experience that I've got. And, you know, sometimes we need to have that attitude to say, I just believe God can use me, because it's not about me, it's about who God is. It's about his ability. It's not about mine. And so I want to encourage us this morning, before we look through this parable more, your talent, your sum that God has entrusted to you is valuable. It's important. Now, the interesting thing about the first two guys in this story is that they took that sum of money and they went and traded it. Now, this is I don't know much about finance, but I know enough about finance to know that if you're going to go and trade some money on the stock exchange or whatever, it involves risk. It involves being prepared to lose. It involves being prepared to suffer loss. And you know, God, I think through this parable, is saying to us that if you want to live for him, it's going to involve risk. It's going to involve being prepared to lose. There's going to be short-term losses. There's going to be times it doesn't work. You know, it takes courage to attempt something for God. It takes courage to step out and trust him. It takes courage to pursue that dream that God has planted in your heart. There's so many things that might come against us. You know, insecurities that come up. People that might abandon us. People that might not work with us. We might fail. But the interesting thing about this parable is that Jesus is saying, I want the sort of person that's prepared to take a risk. That's prepared to even, you know, for some of us, I remember when I was in high school, you know, when it came to sharing about Jesus with my friends, that's a risk. When it came to inviting someone to youth group, that's a risk. We risk losing friends. We risk being laughed at. And you know, these guys, when they took those five talents or those two talents and they went and traded them, I reckon they probably suffered a few losses in the short term in order to have that long-term gain. You know, there's days when the stock exchange, you know, everyone loses money and things don't go good. But there's other days when people gain a lot of money. But in the long term, if you're a good investor, you know how to, over the long term, increase what you've got to make a profit. And, you know, with the kingdom of God, God is calling us to use our energy, to use our time, to use our skills, to use our relationships, to use our reputation to expand his kingdom. How can you do that? Have a think about it. What can I do? What can you do? There's something, I'm sure. Jesus, you know, the least that God expects from us is investment in his kingdom. It's actually exciting. I'm saying it like it's a bad thing, but it's not. It's actually really exciting to attempt something for God, to try something for him, to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm good in this area. I'm gonna see how I can use that for God's kingdom. I'm not talking about even necessarily using what you have to grow this church, although that's a part of it. But just to bless someone, just to share God's love with someone, we can all find a way. You know, Paul said in Philippians 1 and verse 21, he said, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, "I know where I'm going when I leave this world. I know that heaven's waiting for me, so to die is no problem." But he said, "To live is Christ. It's all for Jesus. It's all for him." You know, obviously this does speak to the area of our own finances. I love to give. I love to support kingdom things, you know. And I don't have a lot of money, but it's not the point. It's about saying, yes, God, whatever you've entrusted to me, I want to invest it in your kingdom. That's an exciting thing to be a part of. I want to encourage us this morning. Let's use what he's given us. The other thing that I just was thinking about as I read this parable, you know, the last person, the third guy that was given the one talent, it says that he dug a hole in the ground and he buried it. He buried what had been given to him. And I just believe that this is a prophetic word for us this morning. It's time to dig up what you've buried. I want to encourage us, church. It's time to dig up the things that you've buried. The things that God has entrusted to you, where you've said, "No, God, you couldn't use me. No, I'm disqualified." You buried yourself. You know, it's interesting because this morning already, Trevor mentioned about losing our life in order to find it. And that's such a good truth. And there's different ways that we lose our life. There's an abandonment to God to say, "God, whatever you want, I'm yours." That's a good type of losing your life. But there's another way that we lose our life that says, "God, no. I'm just gonna put myself off the shelf. I'm gonna make myself unavailable for you." And that is a type of losing your life that doesn't work. And sometimes we do that. There's things in your life that God wants to use to increase his kingdom. Maybe it's just as simple as he wants to use your mouth to tell someone. Maybe it's just as simple as he wants to use your smile to love someone. I don't know what it is for you. That's for you to work out. But I just feel that God is saying to us today, it's time to dig up what you've buried and start using it to bring increase to the kingdom. Are you with me this morning? Making sense? 2 Timothy, let's read it. 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. "Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That's it right there. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. Stir up that thing that God has placed in you. I want to encourage us this morning. I know that there's people in this room and you've received a prophetic word. And you've just tucked it away. It's time to stir it up. I believe God is saying to us today, God has not given us a spirit of fear, He hasn't given us a spirit that shrinks back. He hasn't given us a spirit of intimidation. He's given us a spirit of power. You know, we have the Holy Spirit in us, empowering us to live for God. There's an extra dimension to whatever you attempt for God that goes beyond the natural. Stop thinking just in the natural. Start to think on another level. We have God's power. He's given us a spirit of love and of a sound mind. Let's stir it up this morning. Some people here this morning that you've kind of written yourself off. You've precluded yourself from any sort of ministry because of things that have gone wrong in your life. And when I say ministry, I'm not talking about becoming a pastor or something like that. I'm just talking about things that we do for God, living for Jesus. And you've kind of said, yeah, but look at what I've done. Look at how badly I've stuffed up. It's time to dig up what you buried. Some of you are scared to tell people that thing that God has planted in your heart, that vision that He's given you, that dream that He's given you for the kingdom. It's time to dig it up. Maybe this morning you've allowed discouragement to set in. Maybe you've been doing something for God in the past, but you've become discouraged. It's time to dig it up. Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. You know, if God's called you to something, He doesn't go back on His word. If He's placed a gift in you, He doesn't take it away. So this morning, I guess, I just want to encourage us in this area. Imagine what could happen if all of us started to dig up those things that were buried. Imagine what we could achieve together as a church. And so I want to give us opportunity to respond. I don't always do that, but if you do feel like this message is for you or that it is prophetic for you, then I want to encourage you this morning. Come and pray. Come and make a declaration out the front here as we finish. And let someone pray with you this morning to say, you know what? Yeah, I've buried it. I've buried what God's entrusted to me. I've become discouraged. I've been scared. This morning, come and say, no, I'm digging it up. The thing that God has for me, I'm available, God. I'm prepared to take a risk. I'm prepared to invest in your kingdom. I want to encourage us to do that. Maybe you've stopped believing that what you have is valuable. It is. So precious to the kingdom. And so let's just pray. And as we sing the last song, I encourage you to come and receive prayer. And no pressure at all this morning, but that's just a thing between you and God. So you respond how you feel you need to. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for what you've entrusted to us. And Lord, our lives are all about you. It's not about us. It's not about just living for ourselves, but God, it's about offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to you. And I pray that you'd give us the grace to do that. Lord, this morning, if we've buried our lives in a way that's not good, buried what you've entrusted to us, Father, I pray that you'd give us the courage to dig it up. Give us the courage to live for you, Jesus. Give us the courage to take a risk for you, to dream a little bit, to step out and do something for your kingdom. Father, I thank you for the so many people in this room that are already doing that. I pray that you'd strengthen us, God. I pray that you'd strengthen each person in this area. We just thank you this morning. Bless you, God. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you. Encourage you to come out if that's you. And yeah, thanks, Jim.